This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. What if women had the power to control their fertility? It's a new reality in an epic fantasy novel from author Jenna Glass. It's called The Women's War, and it looks at what happens when the balance of power shifts in the fictional world of Seven Wells. It begins in a world where women are treated as possessions and forced to produce male heirs in their patriarchal society. But a powerful spell can change all of that. Jenna Glass channeled the politics of Me Too and the other resistance movements into her new novel, and she's here to tell us more. Jenna Glass, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This is a sprawling, epic novel, but give us an overview of the plot of The Women's War.
Well, as you mentioned, that there is a spell that is cast that makes it so that women can no longer be forced to bear children. And in a patriarchal society, and especially a hereditary monarchy, there are a lot of forced marriages and alliances by marriage that are predicated on the two people having children. And if the women cannot be forced to have children, suddenly they have some power that they didn't used to have. And it follows basically mostly two women, one who's the disgraced daughter of the king, who's a 42-year-old mother of two, which is an unusual fantasy heroine. And the other is a younger woman who becomes queen of a different kingdom through a tragedy that leaves the rest of the royal family dead.
Describe Seven Wells for us.
Seven Wells is a world where there are seven different kingdoms and principalities. Each one has what is called a well, which is the source of magical elements. And there are, you know, three big kingdoms and then a whole bunch of smaller principalities. And they have wars occasionally. And they're all hereditary monarchies and all patriarchies, some more patriarchal than others.
All right. And describe this magic spell. I find this fascinating, just the way this magic spell works.
So there's one of the things that happens to women in this world is if they are not wanted, if they disgrace their fathers or their husbands, or they're divorced, they're forced into this thing called the Abbey of the Unwanted. And so the women there are able to use magic, which is usually forbidden to women. It's a male realm only. And in one of these abbeys, the head of the abbey, the abbess, has over generations been breeding women to be especially powerful in magic. And so there are these three women who have been bred for the purpose who are able to cast this spell. And what they're doing is using elements that come out of the well and sort of combining them together in something that's kind of like a scientific formula or a recipe. And when these elements come together, it creates a magic spell.
Well, maybe you could read a bit of the book for us, too, and illuminate more of this universe that you've created in The Women's War.
All right, I can do that. And the one thing I'll tell you before I read this is two of the elements that are very important. One of them is called Ro, and it's the element of life. And one of them is called Kai, and Kai is the death element, which is usually a masculine element, except these three women have been bred that they can generate and use it. Nadine sobbed freely and without shame as her daughter calmly slashed her own wrist and held it over the vessel. Somehow, although they hadn't planned it that way, the three women ended up holding one another's hands as they bled their lives into the vessel, willing the spell it contained to rise up and spread over all the world. Vondine's Kai appeared. Pure white like Ro, Vondine's Kai slid easily into the space left between Nadine's and Breda's. The three Kai motes now formed one large, multicolor crystal, which Vondine nudged into the spell vessel. The crystal drew the trapped elements out of the vessel, binding and combining with them, the power of the spell's birth causing the copper to melt to a steaming pool. One by one, the women's grips faltered, dizziness overtaking them, as the strength drained from their bodies with their blood. And the spell they had completed rose up from the pool of molten metal and cracked gems and sank into the earth, making its way down to the wellspring, the source of all magic, and changing everything.
North Carolina author Jenna Glass reading from her new epic fantasy, The Women's War. She's going to be at the Greensboro Bound Literary Festival tomorrow, and you can find out details at her website, stateofthings.org. What inspired this story for you?
The very first kernel of an idea came years ago when Todd Akin from Missouri made the comment, let me get his exact words, which I thought I'd written down on this piece of paper.
Well, I think it goes like this. If it's legit, let me put it in a male voice just to give
it all the power and
the stupidity that it deserves. Okay. If it's legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down, unquote.
I heard that quote. Yeah. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to write in a world where that's true? Because it's certainly not true in our world. Mm-mm. And at the time, I sort of dismissed it as being way too overtly political, way too overtly feminist for what I wanted to do. And so it just sat on the back burner, and I didn't do anything with it. And then Donald Trump was elected. And like many women, I had a lot of feelings about his election, none of which were really very positive. And so I woke up the day after the election, and I had this sort of helpless feeling of despair. And then I remembered this little kernel of an idea that I had rejected before. And I thought, you know, I'm feeling very political today and very feminist, so I'm going to start developing this story, and I'm not going to care that it's, you know, possibly controversial. And so I sat down and started planning out the world, and it just took on a life of its own almost immediately. And that was the birth of this story.
It does take on a life of its own, but it also, in this story, I mean, the power of this is the spell that gives women the power to kind of shut it down. I mean, there's a way in which this is the world that old Todd Akin kind of imagines, that women can actually take control of this thing and don't worry about it. The ladies got it.
Exactly. And there's some wish fulfillment to that, certainly. And certainly in the current climate, I keep thinking, oh, if only someone could just cast that spell here and we wouldn't need somebody's permission to deal with our own bodies. That would be just lovely.
I will say this, though, the wish that I would like you to fulfill is that the Todd Akins of the world would wake the heck up. Right. I mean, and to some extent, the burden's on them to understand how the human body works and how human social order works and how these privileges are built in and to feel it and know it. And they don't seem to get it. And so how do you alert somebody to that, which would be the other way of transforming it? Then I don't need special power because the Todd Akins of the world get it.
Yeah, I don't know, because they're seeing the world that they want to see rather than the world that's actually here.
Well, it's fascinating, and you build up this world, and again, sort of a shift the power equation one way or the other, right? And so you put the power in the hands of women, which is also, and you sustain it all the way through. I wonder, just technically from a craft point of view or an art point of view, how you do that, because this is an epic novel, and it goes through many kingdoms and through time. How do you sustain all that? It starts out with an idea. It's a very political idea. But then to sustain it through these characters and in the realm of fiction, what's that process like?
It's tricky. It wasn't so hard for me in the first book because things kept happening that kept spurring me on. And they're still happening now. But this is also the first book of a trilogy. And I must say, on the second book, I actually needed my editor to come in and say, oh, yeah, remember, this is actually a feminist fantasy. Mm. You can't just go off and tell any old story you want. It has to always come back to that. So having a good editor is really helpful with that. and I'm about just barely started with the third book. So I'm really interested in how that challenge will play out in the third one, because, again, I'm going to have to keep the feminist center while still having a plot that is enjoyable to read.
How do you work? Do you have to sort of lay out timelines for yourself in your room and kind of poster boards filled with lineages and plot lines and all of that sort of thing, or keep it in your head?
I'm not quite that organized about it. Everything starts out in a notebook that I write in by hand. There's something about writing by hand that just really gets my creative juices flowing. So it starts off there, and then I write in a program called Scrivener, which allows you to create sort of index cards that have summaries of the scenes, and you can move them around and then type in the text later. So I do a lot of that, and it usually doesn't survive the actual writing. Things change wildly after I start writing, but I do have a plan in place when I start.
I wonder if I could ask you to do another reading and set it up for us if you need to.
Sure. Sure. So one of the main characters, as I told you, is a sort of disgraced daughter of the king of Alta, one of the kingdoms. And she's only disgraced because her father divorced her mother, and her mother was sent to the Abbey of the Unwanted. And her mother is one of the women who cast the spell. And part of Alisoun, the daughter, part of her journey in this book is learning how to use magic, which has been forbidden to women before, and which, you know, an unintended side effect of the spell was that women now have more elements that they can draw on than they used to, because the elements are gendered. So her mother has left her this magic book that is going to teach her magic, and this is an excerpt from when Alisoun is first reading the book. "The men of this world are going to do everything they can to reverse what we have done, but rest assured that it is not possible. The spell is a culmination of generations of work. Myself, Nadine, and Vondine are the only ones who know what we've done and how we've done it, and the knowledge dies with us. Which brings me to you, dearest daughter. You will have inherited some of the magical abilities that were bred into my blood. Not enough to reverse the spell, but enough to make you vulnerable. Your father will protect you, but he will not live forever, and the Crown Prince will not be so forgiving. You, your brother, and your family are all in danger, and for that I am deeply sorry. My best hope of protecting you is through this book, which you must keep hidden at all costs. Each time you put Ro into the book, a magic lesson will appear in these pages. I have tailored these lessons to the abilities I know you have and the elements I know you are capable of seeing. Read and absorb everything carefully. The book will not present a new lesson until you have mastered the current one."
North Carolina author Jenna Glass reading from her new epic fantasy, The Women's War. She's going to be at Greensboro-bound Literary Festival tomorrow. We've got the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Talk about how you work with magic, because I've talked with a lot of authors who say, you know, you just have to be very careful with this, and you seem to have done that. You don't want magic to be so easy that it has to come with its downside. And so how do you concoct the spells to make sure there's a certain amount of tension going forward in the novel?
Well, it starts out with I've developed a lot more than is actually in the pages of the book. So that helps me, you know, maintain some kind of internal consistency. And in some ways, the magic system, the way I created it, makes it a little easier to keep track of it because it's almost like a formula or a recipe. So I can write down the recipes for each of the spells that I create throughout the book. And I also have a big Excel spreadsheet with all the names of all the elements and which gender they are and what they do and what spells I've used them in. So keeps me on track.
And like any magic in any sort of good fiction, there's a downside, right? I mean, there's a danger that's associated with it. So it's not just, you know, you just pull this out at any moment. There's a cost that's also associated with the spell, right?
I'm not sure that I'd say there's a cost with the spell. There's a cost with creating new spells, because the ones that you know what they do, that's really like a formula, and you do it correctly and it'll work. There are some dangers with that because not everybody can see the same elements, so you can't just recreate a spell by looking at it, because there might be things in there that you can't see, and if you put in the wrong element, you might get a very different effect from what you were expecting. So it's that experimentation that is actually dangerous.
You say that this is the first of a trilogy. Did you have the whole thing laid out, all three books laid out before you started?
Nope. That's really, especially with an epic, it's so big that if I tried to lay the whole thing out at one time, I would never start because it would just be so intimidating. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have little waypoints. And then as I start writing, I start seeing the shape more and more as I go. So, you know, I'm always looking ahead. I'm just not looking all the way to the end, except for maybe having some vague idea of what's going to happen at the very end, but, you know, very few waypoints.
You've written several other novels under the name Jenna Black. Why did you change your name for this one?
Mostly because this is a very different genre from what I was writing before. Everything I wrote before had some kind of fantasy or science fiction element, but it was always set in some version of the real world. So it was always based in reality, even if it wasn't real itself. And also, I wrote some romances and some young adult fiction, which they have certain expectations that go with them, and I didn't want a reader bringing those expectations into this book and being disappointed by what they got, because this book is very different. The epic world and sort of the many different characters and lots of different expectations for what might occur.
How do you feel about this world now? Well, it does, and you say you're committed to at least two more, but what about mm-hmm. the genre now? Is this something that you'd like to pursue even more deeply? Has it been more thrilling, less thrilling than you expected when you got into it?
Definitely more thrilling. I had written one before a really long time ago when I didn't really know what I was doing. But this time I had more of a clue of how to write and how to plan. And the feeling of creating my own world from nothing, it was very difficult and scary. I had to think about, you know, even things like, you know, geography and languages and what do people wear and what are their titles and all these details. But I found that actually making up those details was really fun. So yeah, I like this genre.
You talked about this being a very deliberate feminist novel, at least in its themes. Has writing this book enlightened you? Has changed your ideas, deepened your ideas? How have your thoughts about the issues that we're looking at today changed, or have they, as a result of writing this book?
I think it's more that it's not so much that they changed, it's that they strengthened and that I gave myself permission to focus on them. Because I had always been trying to sort of conform to the mainstream a little bit more. And with this book, I've given myself permission to come out and say, hey, I'm a feminist. These are the things I believe in. And, you know, I know there are some people who are going to be offended by them and, you know, perhaps they're just not in my audience. And that has been very freeing, to be free to say those things that I wasn't before.
Jenna Glass, the author of The Women's War. Jenna, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Jenna's going to be at the Greensboro Bound Literary Festival in downtown Greensboro tonight. We've got information about that at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, music of West Side Story. Stay tuned.